There are hundreds of thousands of hauntings that span the globe, which makes it impossible to investigate them all. Over the course of history, stories have been passed down from generation to generation. Some of the stories may begin as a simple sound or sight that cannot be explained but turn into something that is just hard to believe. In today's episode, we will discuss some hauntings that could be true, but we leave it up to you to decide. Join us as Redbeard examines haunted happenings. Located in Fall River, Massachusetts, the Lizzie Borden House was the site of the infamous double axe murders of Lizzie Borden's father, Andrew, and her stepmom, Abby, on August 4, 1892. Although Lizzie was the prime suspect for the crimes committed, she was acquitted in 1893, and to this day, no one has been convicted for the murders. The body of Abby was found with her head nearly torn off as she was laying face down on the floor in an upstairs bedroom. Her head was smashed by 19 axe wounds on the backside of her scalp. Experts say that she died on the first blow to the head due to the lack of blood found at the scene. She was found 2 hours later after her death. Andrew's body was found by Lizzie on a couch in the sitting room. She called the police to report it. His head and face were smashed in just like that of her stepmom's. His face was so brutally beaten that it was almost unrecognizable. Today you can stay in the Lizzie Borden House, which is a bed and breakfast. You can even stay in the rooms where these murders occurred. Paranormal activity does exist within the house's corridors. Guests have reported several times to hearing voices, seeing shoes move across the floor, flickering lights, and images of Andrew and Abby walking amongst the house. So the Lizzie Borden House is definitely one of those famous cases that I wanted to talk about because it's actually only about 20 minutes away from us. And I got my co-host Cooley with me.
That's me.
So, before we started recording this episode and we were discussing what we were going to talk about, I actually asked, or I mentioned to Cooley that we were going to be talking about the Lizzie Borden House, and you said, I love the Lizzie Borden House. What is it about this house that just attracts you to it?
So, what really attracts me to this is that, like, it's real. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is something that's tangibly real. There was a court case. There was, like, really cool, like, shit that happened. Like, I'm sorry to people that, like, think that it's not cool that she really fucking hacked up her father and her mother with an axe. Like, I think it's fucking cool.
Well, and the murders are definitely, gruesome. I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty bad. I mean, bashing somebody's head in 90 times with an axe or 19 times and then, like, there's just a lack of blood in the scene.
And she's like, crazy.
Yeah.
She was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just say that.
Well, yeah. But the weird thing is that the fact that she wasn't convicted and people still say that there's, you know, oh, like, we don't know if she actually did it or not. I find, like, that is actually the most interesting part.
I mean, from what I read, she was, like, a very, like, desirable woman. She was very, like, attractive, right?
Right. From what I've heard, yeah.
Like, and this is definitely back in the days, like, you know, when, you know, you could wear skirts down to your ankles and, you know, that was attractive. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, her face must have been, like, super beautiful because you couldn't really see her body. I'm looking at a picture on it. It's not super beautiful, but it's not super ugly either. So I guess, like, back then, not super ugly was super attractive. So... Yeah. But I'm thinking that she kills her parents.
Right.
She goes on trial. And I think her feminine wiles, like, kind of pushed her through the whole process and got her acquitted, like, without having any repercussions.
Right.
That's my thought.
I mean, I think, you know, that murders back then were, in people, I mean, people were murdered, obviously. Murder's been happening since the, you know, beginning of time. But the fact that this was so gruesome, and it was at a time where I don't think things like this were done by somebody of her age, was kind of disturbing to a lot of people. Also, the fact that she, I think the fact that she was never convicted is the most disturbing part. You always talk about somebody getting away with murder, and she most likely did.
Oh yeah, no, you she know? Hacked the shit out of her parents, like just
yeah. I mean, this reminds me of which
it wasn't 40 wax, mind you.
No,
because that was like the nursery rhyme or whatever. Like gave her mother 40 wax, gave her father 41, all that shit. That shit's not what happened.
No, no. Well, I mean, that's all for, you know, like fun in the nursery rhyme to be disturbing. But I honestly think that this house probably has a weird vibe to it. Whether or not it's actually haunted, I find that a little hard to believe.
No, I don't think so either, though.
I mean, obviously.
I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, and you see, the odd thing is that this house is 20 minutes away from us. And for somebody that's a skeptic, I'm surprised you've never stayed there. Like, you've never entertained that idea that, like, oh, I should probably stay there. I should probably take my girlfriend to the Lizzie Borden house and stay over. Because it is a bed and breakfast, right? But, like, you would never entertain that idea of staying there.
No, I mean, I would go, obviously.
I'm surprised you haven't though yet. I mean,
no, I want to, but like it's all about like money, fucking like not just money, but like time and like taking time out of work and all that shit. Like eventually I'll do it, but it's not like a pressing thing that I have to run and do it right away. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I mean, I think if anything, I'll tell you this. The one person that wants to do this really bad is my mother. She's like fascinated with the whole Lizzie Borden case and like, oh my God, I got to go stay in the room where the people were murdered and see if there's any paranormal activity. And for me, I don't necessarily have a desire to do that. Like the Lizzie Borden house kind of freaks me out. It's just one of those houses that I don't want to stay in because of the vibe that's in it. And I feel like if there is some kind of haunting there, it's not the type of paranormal experience that I actually want to even experience. It's weird. You know what I mean? It sounds weird for me to say that.
Well, yeah, no, like, I mean, like, so, like, the real paranormal experience, like, the thing that, the real paranormal aspect of this, I mean, I don't think it's so much the ghosts of, like, the parents, but I think it's the, like, the possession of Lizzie Borden, which is what, like, the legend has is that she was possessed or she was coerced by like these like dark forces to do what she did because she wasn't necessarily like this evil person to begin with. Right.
Right.
So I think that's really like what is like the supernatural aspect of this. So the attraction of going to the bed and breakfast is like, meh, you know what I mean? Like you want to go because it's like the place where it all happened. But it's not necessarily like, you know, you're going to go and see some ghosts or like be involved in some supernatural stuff. I think that's why you have like such a lack of like enthusiasm over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. And it had to be mentioned because it's such a famous case and because it's so close by. I don't know. And I think that's maybe why I have such like I don't have a desire to stay there is because it's 20 minutes away. It's like, oh yeah, I've driven by it a bunch of times. Like I'll go on a tour. I don't want to stay there when I could just stay at my house 20 minutes away. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It's just like kind of stupid. Like, I don't know.
I would do a tour.
Yeah. The tour would be dope. I mean, to kind of walk through there and stuff like that.
But like, I mean, like unless I read that, like the bed and breakfast had like amazing breakfast, like this, like pancakes touched by God, like that would make me like want to do like the bed and breakfast thing a lot more. But yeah, I would totally do a tour. That's not out of the question.
Yeah. So the Lizzie Borden house, I mean, they've heard voices. People said they've heard voices. They've seen shoes slide across the floor. You know, those things, I mean, are always going to be very hard to prove. People have seen, you know, apparitions of what is supposed to be her father and so forth. I don't necessarily, I can't say that I don't believe those things, but I also find that when there's so much history behind this particular case and people are in there and they're like, oh, you're standing in the room where the murders happened, like people start to kind of like want to experience things.
Yeah, and that's what I've been saying a lot, like throughout this entire season,
right?
Is that the psychology behind things is like, you know, you get people that really want to experience this paranormal thing, or like they know that something happened and they want to, like, I think the same is true for all of the stuff that we've talked about. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's for me, and for me, I think it comes down to the gravity of the case and the amount of people that have experienced it. Like, okay, like Amityville, a lot of that stuff was actually proven or disproven, right? But like the amount of like horror this family went through, and like I think everything behind it and like the history of it makes it very interesting to me, where there's still a possibility that I think there are some paranormal activity going on there because of the murders that happened. Mm. Like the brutal murders. But there is also like this part of me that thinks that the same could be true for the Lizzie Borden house, because there are a lot of similarities when you look at it. A young person kills her family, right, in their sleep or whatever, claims to be possessed by some spirit that was coercing her to do these murders, right? And do I think that the house is haunted because of everything that happened there, because, oh, Lizzie Borden's haunting the house, which people say? No, I don't think that. I think that if there is any kind of paranormal activity there, it's due to the murders that happened, if anything. Like, I don't think all these like things that the DeFeos and Amityville said, like, oh, of this lion statue, like in my living room, turned into a real lion and bit me in the ankle. Like, we saw this pig outside the, like, no, I don't think that. I think if there's anything there, it's probably the spirits of the kids that were murdered. You know, that's what I think, if anything. And I think the same for, if anything, it would be the spirits of her parents that were murdered, you know, but we'll never know. I haven't seen anything. I haven't been there. I can't speak to it. Well, just a famous case.
Yeah. Like, sure.
I mean, for 1892, like, that was gruesome for 1892 to be recorded. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the biggest court cases in Massachusetts.
Right.
Or oldest, yeah.
So. Yeah, I read the book, man. The book is fucking great, man. There's plenty of books, but, and I can't remember the name of this one, but I can definitely, like, look at, I have the book at home, and I'll let you borrow it. Right. But it's literally just, it's not about anything else but the court case.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's dope. It's really dope.
All right.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Yep. All right, I've been waiting for this, man. So it's the Confederate Graveyard. So basically this happens in Lebanon, Virginia. Did I say that right?
Lebanon, Virginia?
Lebanon, Virginia?
I thought you were going to say another country. Lebanon, Virginia.
Lebanon, Virginia. It is said that in this lost cemetery, there is a mysterious light. Allegedly, if one travels through the cemetery after dark, he will be confronted by a floating blaze. As one tries to escape, it is said that the flame will follow, screaming in a very shrill voice.
Okay.
That's all I got, bro.
That's it. What?
That's it. That was the story.
All right. I mean, that seems...
What do you think of that story? So, like, basically, you're in this lost cemetery. And if it's a lost cemetery, how the fuck are you in it, first of all, right? Like, that's my question, right?
Yep.
So it's a lost cemetery, but you're in it.
Okay.
Are you lost in the cemetery? Like, I'm trying to figure that out.
I think so.
All right, so you're lost in the cemetery. There is a mysterious light.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in this cemetery and you're lost.
We've established that. Yep.
Right. Shit, I don't know how to get out of this cemetery.
Yep.
Then you see a mysterious light.
Mm-hmm.
So if you travel to the cemetery after dark, he will be confronted by a floating blaze.
Right, so I would assume that you can
which
only...
That must be the mysterious light, right? That must be what they're talking about.
Yeah, the blaze.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I would assume that it would be at night, because how would you be able to see this mysterious light in the daylight? Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't really... That's another thing, man, like...
But where do you see the mysterious blaze? Like, is it anywhere in the cemetery, or do you have to go to, like, a specific place?
See, this is one of those cases that I don't really believe. It's like something you read on a site, and you're like, oh, cool. Like, somebody went there, like, saw somebody with a flashlight.
This is some creepypasta shit, right? Like, this is some, like, Slender Man, like, fucking, like, I made up this fucking ghoul, and...
I made up this ghoul.
And I want to see if it catches on. Because this doesn't make any sense. Like, none of it makes sense. It's like... So it starts, listen, I'm just going to read this again.
No, I know. That is why you picked it, because it makes no sense.
Right. I love this kind of shit, because it makes me feel like I know what I'm talking about when I say this shit doesn't exist.
Which is why there's so many pauses when you're reading it, because it literally is written poorly as well.
Yeah. So I'm going to start over, because it's so short I can do this.
Yeah.
It is said that in this lost cemetery, there is a mysterious light, period.
Yep.
Allegedly, if one travels to the cemetery after dark, he will be confronted by a floating blaze.
So, you know what's funny about that? They say that it's a lost cemetery. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're lost in the cemetery. I just think the cemetery is lost. So, like, people don't know exactly where it is.
So it's like Atlantis, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. So here's my point, right?
Where do I go to visit this place?
So check it out. So you're like, yo, I was in Lebanon, wherever the hell it is, and... I found the cemetery, and I didn't see the blaze you were talking about. They're like, oh, well,
it probably wasn't
the right cemetery, because no one can find it because it's lost.
as one tries to escape, because this floating blaze is obviously terrifying.
Yeah.
So you need to escape.
Yeah.
And, if you try to escape, it's said that the flame will follow, screaming in a very shrill voice.
So what do? You just stay there until it doesn't...
But what if you don't try to escape?
I don't know. I guess you become friends with it.
It's just a blaze, right?
Yeah.
It's just like fucking cool fire, right? Like,
it's a Mortal Kombat character, Blaze. That's what it is.
So. it's a very dumb... This is a very dumb story. I'm sorry that I chose this one, but I had to just because I thought it was hilarious.
Because it was dumb. All right. So I got one that I really like. So, and you're going to really appreciate this because we will be able to speak to it.
Okay.
The Mount Washington Hotel, which is in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire.
Oh, my God.
Now, at the base of the scenic Mount Washington sits a glorious testament to wealth and love. The Mount Washington Hotel was built in 1902 after 2 years of construction. A show of the wealth owner Joseph Stickney had amassed through his investments in coal mining and the Pennsylvania Railroad. Stickney spared no expense on the massive structure, using what was then state-of-the-art construction methods in heating, plumbing, and private phones. A staff of 350 people waited on the guests, sometimes outnumbering them. It was truly a wealthy man's paradise, and Joseph Stickney's wife, Carolyn, loved the hotel nearly as much as she loved her husband. The hotel served many well-to-do guests, including the Vanderbilt family, and regardless of who attended dinner each night in the hotel's grand dining room, Carolyn Stickney was always the finest-dressed attendee. It is rumored that Mrs. Stickney would hide on the balcony and look at the hotel guests as they filed in, carefully contemplating what dress and jewels to wear in order to outshine them all. After playing the night's bell of the ball, Carolyn and Joseph would dine privately by candlelight, snatching at romantic moments. Then tragically, in December 1903, Joseph's heart suddenly gave out and he died, leaving his grieving widow to roam a gigantic monument to their love. Carolyn stayed on at the hotel, wandering the well-manicured grounds where she and Joseph shared so much happiness. Carolyn eventually remarried Prince Luigi of France and moved to France until the prince also passed away. When he died, she again returned to Mount Washington to spend many happy times there. She died many years later, owning the hotel until her death. But rumor is that she still wanders through the elegant hotel and its rambling grounds. Now check this out. Visitors have reported hearing a ghostly romantic melody playing through the hotel, and some say they have glimpsed a woman fitting Carolyn's description peeking down from the balcony. Perhaps she still watches the visitors to the hotel, wondering about what it might take to stun them. Orbs show up in photos and television channels change themselves in the tower suites that Carolyn supposedly frequents. Perfume drifts into rooms and tubes start filling themselves. And tubs start filling themselves, according to some guests. Mysterious lights are sometimes seen, and although the hotel staff has been taught not to tell ghostly tales, some hint at odd occurrences. And lastly, in room 314, there supposedly still exists a hand-turned and handcraft four-poster bed that Carolyn shared with her first husband. Some have reported seeing a woman on the bed slowly brushing her hair. Could it be that Carolyn Stickney still longs for some form of rest, even in spirit form?
Now, is 314 the room that we tried to book a long time ago?
Yes.
And they wouldn't let us?
And this is the funny part. So, I originally had gone to this hotel on a whim. I was going there for somebody's wedding reception.
Yeah.
Only to find out that this hotel is what Stephen King based the hotel and The Shining on. Right, so that alone makes it kind of creepy, right? And it really, if you haven't seen it, look up Mount Washington Resort. It sits in the middle of like these beautiful woods in New Hampshire. It's huge, right? So while I was there, I was listening to this tour, and they have a big poster or a big framed painting of Mrs. Stickney, and it's kind of creepy because they do mention that some people have seen her. In room 314. So, for our listeners, we called a couple years ago and wanted to actually book room 314, and they went to every length to tell us that there was something wrong with the room. We couldn't book 314 specifically because it was booked, and I literally went through a series of 25 to 30 days over the course of the year, and they were booked and they weren't booked, and then there was a plumbing issue. Like, there was so many reasons why we could not stay in room 314, but people do stay there. And I don't think that they let the guests know, but I think if you inquire about staying there, they don't want you to stay there. You know what I mean? Because if you find something, then you're going to tell people about it, and then, you know, whatever. So oddly enough, the staff does know about room 314, and they will go to every length to make sure that if you know about it, you can't stay there. But if you just book a room and it happens to be 314, then that's fine. But we couldn't book it. So I haven't necessarily talked to anybody that has seen anything when they were there. I will tell you that the ghost hunters did an episode where they went to the Mount Washington Resort and actually, you know, investigated the hotel. They did find some odd things, like they got some like EVP stuff, which I thought was kind of cool. But, you know, is that Carolyn? Who knows? There's also a section in the hotel where like the quarters, I guess, of the staff is. And that's where, you know, they kind of like take breaks and so forth like that. And it's kind of in like these like dark hallways that lead to like the kitchen's like back entrance, and like it's on like the third floor, and they say that they hear voices and really weird. And they also have this huge wall where like staff members for years have been writing their names, and that's just creepy in itself, where people say they hear things in that hallway. Well, whether or not that's true, I don't know, but the Mount Washington Resort has been around forever, and it's like, wouldn't you say we got like an extremely odd vibe, like when we tried to book that room?
Yeah, dude, like that guy was like so standoffish, man. He was like, yeah, let me put you on hold for a minute. And he would like wait like fucking like 20 minutes,
yeah,
30 minutes. We're sitting there, we're just waiting, and then he finally comes back and he's just like, yo, we can put you in another room.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, dude, that's not where we want to sleep. We want to sleep in 314.
Right.
And he's like, hook us up.
And then, yeah, but then he was like, he's like, hold on a second. And then he like put us on hold. And then when he came back, he was like, well, we can't really have anybody stay in that room right now because there's an issue with like the plumbing. And I was like, okay, when will it be fixed? That's to be determined.
Yeah.
Like any excuse And then he had us talk to somebody else, like another staff member. I think it was like the manager, which like you don't put a manager on the phone for that. Like you don't need a manager to take care of the situation. Like you slowly weave your way out of it or just tell them that we can't stay there.
Right.
But the manager got on the phone and was like, so I heard you want to stay in 314. We're like, yeah, we want to stay in that room specifically. Why that room? I was like, because of the Mount Washington Resort and we've heard things about it and we'd like to stay in the room. We're willing to pay the full price, obviously, you know, and we're not there to cause any trouble. And he was just like, oh, well, we're not taking bookings for that room right now. But then like 2 weeks later, I called and like the room was booked. So obviously they were, but they just wouldn't let us stay there. And we called. So it was very strange. But if you have a chance to check out the Mount Washington Resort, just for the view alone of this building and how massive it is, it's worth it. Driving, like
I still want to do that thing where we stay there and like try to get 314.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like we haven't tried since then, and no. I think we should.
It's gonna be super hard to do it. I mean, I'm down to do it if we can book it, but you know, just super weird, man. But this, you pull into this place and just the, you know, driveway or whatever to get down to the actual resort is like a good. You're driving through like a golf course. I mean, it's a good 30 seconds. I mean, which is a lot when you're in a car to actually get from the entrance to the actual resort. So look it up online. Google it. Mount Washington Resort. Like I said, you know, Stephen King based the hotel in The Shining on this specific building. So with that being said, I would check it out.
Word.
And it is your turn, sir.
It's my turn?
Yeah.
All right. So I got the Old Trinity Church in Brooklyn, Connecticut. Behind the graveyard is a small path that leads to a cross-shaped clearing. The animals that make this clearing their home are thought to be possessed. So is the church. Allegedly, a serial killer, Mike Ross, buried his victims behind the church and in blood wrote, "I love little girls." These women were thought to be the cause of the paranormal activity that exists there today.
Mm-hmm. How old were the girls?
Doesn't say.
They were just little. So I would assume like extremely little. Young. Yeah,
yeah. I'm thinking little as of like probably like 7 or 8.
Oh, that's disturbing.
When you think little, like that's what I think. I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah, I know. I was just, yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, that's one another situation where I always feel like when there's horrible things done to people, it leaves like this, like murder and burying somebody there. Like I do believe that spirits or like the soul of somebody, if you're murdered in a gruesome, dramatic, you know, just like unbelievable way or something like that, you there's this like negative energy that's left behind. Or like the soul has like unfinished business. Like I personally believe in that, so I feel like, you know, maybe those like spirits are there and they're looking for some sort of closure before they can rest. Like some, that's a part of me that does believe that that's true. But I mean, the animals being possessed and things like that, I don't know. I mean, there's always that weird theory that like animals can sense spirits and see. I mean, like my cousin who over the past like couple of years she's always felt that she can like sense things just like since she was younger, and like she's kind of started to tell our family about it recently, which mm-hmm. is really interesting. But she's like, oh yeah, she's like, there's been moments where I'll be in like my bedroom, she's like, and I in like this house we moved into, she's like, and I feel like there's someone there. She's like, I don't necessarily look for it, but out of nowhere, she's like, the hair will stand up on like my neck and like my arms, and I just feel very uneasy. And there's like a series of like 10 to 15 minute periods where like my cat will just be staring at a certain like point in the room and will not like take its glance away. She goes, and I'm convinced that it sees something that I can't see. So animals being able to see things that we can't see, I don't know. Andrea Perrin posted something recently where somebody said, can animals see things that we can't see? And she undoubtedly put yes, without a doubt.
How is Andrea?
She's great.
Hey, have you talked to her recently? Or
I've reached out to her like a couple months ago. Said like, you know, happy holidays, whatever. Andrea Perrin, if for those of you who are listening, she is one of the. She is the oldest of the girls that lived in the house in Harrisville, which The Conjuring is actually based off of. So that's a true story, and she is the oldest of the five girls that grew up in that house.
She's a very sweet woman, man. Super very nice. Sweet. I mean, like, she definitely, you know, made me feel welcome in our interview, and when I met her at Rhode Island Comic Con, yep. She was very like welcoming and I really appreciated that. So like, I mean, definitely, she's a good person.
And if you sure. guys want to see our interview with her, you can just go to YouTube and look up Redbeard Podcast, and it's on there.
Mm.
So, but yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the animals being possessed, I don't know, but I do think they can sense things. So that's why they're acting up.
Yeah, so Mike Ross, I mean, I guess maybe we should look him up and maybe figure that out. But go ahead and why don't you take your next thing. I'll look up Mike Ross while you're doing that.
This one actually took place in Kentucky. So it's actually called the Sexton House. So the story goes that a girl got mad at the bad weather on the night of her dance while she was getting ready in her attic room and looked out the window and cursed at God. She was then struck by lightning that left her shocked imprint on the window. When the window was changed, the imprint came back. They painted over it, still, it came through. So they boarded it up, and about 2 years ago, a man that lived in the house was found dead by the bedroom door of a heart attack. They do not know what could have caused it. God must still be angry. So, I think that's very interesting. If you, and see, this is one of those things, like, who knows? Like, I've never heard about this before. It's the first time I've read about it. But if you literally are trying to, you replace a window where it left the imprint of a girl after she was electrocuted by lightning or struck by lightning, you replace the window and it comes back. That's weird. Then you replace it a second time and it comes back again. Like, there's something else at work there. Like, that just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, okay, like there's, you could think about like, oh, well, is the sun coming in through the window and reflecting and like it's casting this, you know, reflection of something that's causing it to look like the imprint of somebody. Sure. But was it there before this girl got electrocuted?
See, that's something that I need. That right there is obviously something that you can get pictures of.
You mean like what? Like the actual...
You can get pictures of. You can have people come in and see it. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that, like, you know, like, just giving me the story.
Yeah.
Like, is like, dude, fuck you. Like, really? Like, give me some proof. Give me some evidence.
You know? I mean, it's super weird.
But yeah, no, like, legit, though. Like, you're right. Like, if that shit actually happened...
Yeah.
Like, that's... unexplainable and really creepy and weird, right? Like, yeah. That's something that, like, you have to say, wow, something is at work here. Some weird forces are at work. But I have to see it. Like, you can't just tell me that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't just tell me, like, dude, yesterday I flew.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is a picture of it right here.
Like, I jumped out of my window and I flew to the corner store and then flew back. Like, I'd be like, all right, fuck you, dude. Like, show me some evidence. You know what I mean?
You'd be like, nah.
Yeah, like, nah, you didn't do that shit.
So this right here is the first time they've seen it.
Show me it. Like, blow that up.
I can't really blow that. So hold on a minute. Like, it looks like the imprint of a woman, like, legit. But they replaced it, and then there's still something there that looks like almost the same exact thing.
That doesn't look like the same
exact
thing.
Well, the imprint is there. It looks like there's a little bit of like...
Nah, that looks completely different, bro. That looks like a vase or some shit. That actually looks like a car charger, to be honest. A car charger?
That doesn't make any sense. But then right here, they boarded it up. So they've since boarded up the actual window. And they found a gentleman there 2 years ago that like died at the door to that... room, yep. Like dropped out of a heart attack. So did he see something that scared the shit out of him literally and then he died? Who knows? You know what I mean? But it's like, dude, it's freaky things like that. You know, like, first it's the imprint of a woman on the window. You replace the window. It comes back. It comes back a second time. And then the guy boards it up, and then he dies when he walks into the room. Like, dude, you want to know what the hell that dude saw. Or was it just a coincidence that he happened to have a heart attack in the house outside that door? I mean, who knows? You know, but he's not alive, so you can't ask him. You know, so, but that kind of jumped out to me. At the Sexton House, I'd never heard of that, and that was super freaky.
Yeah.
So that's my last one.
Let's talk about Michael Ross for a sec. Yeah. Between 1981 and 1984, Ross murdered 8 girls and women aged between 14 and 25 in Connecticut and New York. He raped 7 out of his 8 murder victims, and he was also alleged to have raped but not killed a 21-year-old woman named Vivian Dobson in 1983. Plainfield police rejected the possibility that Ross had been Vivian Dobson's rapist. They did not press charges, and Ross made no confession. Ross confessed to each of the 8 murders and was convicted for the last 4 of them, and he was sentenced to death on July 6th, 1987, and spent the next 18 years on death row.
And that's him.
Yep, that's him. He's a very weird-looking fucking dude.
He looks like... You know who he reminds me of, dude? With those glasses? Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Yep. Like, same, like, deadpan, like... Like, looks like a dude that, like, you just walk by on the street, but, like, would straight up murder you.
Agreed. Is this him, like, later on in life?
Yeah, where he looks a little bit more, like, messed up, because he's been in prison for all these years, yeah.
Yeah, yep.
That's where you see the crazy come out.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's... Like, he did another one, though. I mean, like, this guy just looks like he's insane. Like, there's something wrong with him, you know? I mean, this was him earlier. I mean, he looks like just, like, smart.
Like a regular
like,
dude.
Like, nerd, dude. But yeah. He's, like, doing, like, these horrible things.
Yeah, once you get caught, you look like a fucking... You look guilty as fuck. But then once you're in jail for longer, like, the crazy comes out, like you said. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, because you look at Jeffrey Dahmer, and, like, when he was... Like, it's, like, the same exact type of person. Like, the same glasses, the same deadpan. Like, dude, you just walk by, but this is, like, one of the most famous serial killers ever.
Yeah.
But my theory still stands that, you know, I feel like if somebody goes through a huge amount of trauma, that maybe that's why that spirit is still there. So I stand by that. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe that's the whole, what's behind the whole Michael Ross haunting area church thing. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
So you do agree with that?
I agree with you.
All right. Word. That's a first. So. Yeah. Okay. Well,
fucking demons everywhere, bro.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
everywhere. Demon spirits grow fucking ghosts, angels. Fucking aliens.
Aliens. Yeah, so.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Just can't see them.
Nope, you can't see them.
Nope, you got to have like a special camera. Leave a fucking, you know, recorder out overnight. You know, maybe you can, like, make out weird fucking sounds and pretend that they say things. Like, yeah, nah, really. I totally agree with you, bro.
Word. Yeah. So, with that being said, I think that pretty much ends it for today's episode. It was a shorter episode, but we only had a couple stories that we wanted to kind of, you know, share with you guys. This is more of like a food for thought episode. You know,
yeah.
Like we give you things to think about. You come to your own conclusions, and then you know you share it with your friends. Comment on our Facebook page. Comment on the episode. Please let us know what you think. I mean, we love to interact and engage with you guys. So take a second when you're done with this to just drop a comment.
Yeah. Next week we're gonna wrap up this season with.
What are we wrapping it up with?
Ooh, it's a good one.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you.
It's a good one, guys. Just stay tuned. Yo, I'm not even fucking with you right now. I'm not even bullshitting. It's a good one.
Which is why I'm not going to tell anybody what it is. So stick around. 2 weeks from today, which is Wednesday, you will get to hear our very special episode. And with that being said, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Later. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Redbeard Podcast, which is part of the Nerd Ruckus Network. Please take a moment and like our Facebook page and share your thoughts on the episode as well as what you would like to hear us discuss. Also, give us a follow on Redbeard Podcast and Nerd Ruckus on Instagram and Twitter. And check out nerdruckus.com for all of our entertainment channels.